You are listening to another No Fair Remembering Stuff, the Tuesday edition of the Professional Left Podcast, and available wherever you get your podcasts and at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There is a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at the Professional Left Podcast, P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
And it's not safe for work.
And today we're going to spend this episode covering an entire year that we are confident will be bulldozed straight down the media memory hole in the very near future.
And that year is 2023, Driftglass.
Yeah, this very year. As we close out the year, having gone through this a few times, pretty sure this year is going to be forgotten awfully fast by most of the media. And we'll be doing a No Fair Remembering Stuff proper like 5 years from now about, remember in 2023? So we're just putting notes up for ourselves in storage for 5 years from now. But on a personal note, when my wife said that she wanted to do an episode on immigration because Maria Bartiromo is a bitch, I had my doubts.
I said she was a hypocritical bitch.
Right. She was a bitch. She was a lying bitch. And, you know, I had my doubts. After all, carrying out personal vendettas is what we do on our other podcast. That's what our other podcast is for. Also, how could anyone possibly say anything useful about immigration in like less than 10 or 12 podcast episodes or one episode that was 12 hours long, which one day we're going to do, I'm sure.
No.
And that day is when Blue Gal leaves me.
Right.
But for my wife, it was a passion project. And anyway, she's usually right about such things. Well, it turns out it was one of the most popular and shared and commented on episodes we have ever done, for which the only credit I take was being wise enough to shut my mouth while my wife was being smart.
Well, he is able to do that. So yes. Good for you, Driftglass.
It's taken me decades to learn to shut up.
I said, no, we're going to do this. I already have notes. Here's my notes. We're going to do this. Maria Bartiromo is driving me crazy. Her family benefited from all kinds of advantages, her own family, and now she harps about illegals every other day, calls fellow human beings illegals, and I'm tired of it.
Yep.
And so we did that podcast on immigration, and the response was amazing.
Yeah. Gotta
say. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And I want to also say up front, just a little housekeeping. We are doing two episodes this week. This No Fair Remembering Stuff, we'll also do our regular political podcast on Thursday. We just got breaking news out of Colorado, so I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. But next week, between Christmas and New Year's, we're going to do a podcast on Thursday. I don't know what we're going to do yet, but we're going to do one show and take Boxing Day off.
Right, like we do.
So we will have a podcast released on Thursday, which practically no one else will have a show next week. So we we hope that that brings you some joy, and then we'll see you in the following year. Mm-hmm. 2024 is coming, folks.
Ooh.
Very exciting. All right. 2023 was the year that the red wave was supposed to take over Congress, and Kevin McCarthy was going to begin his long and glorious career, long awaited, long planned, long hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
Reign as Speaker of the House. He wanted that gavel for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to talk about him right now.
No. No.
I want to talk about good news, and I won the coin toss. So I get to talk about my personal heroes of the year, the good guys of the year, the Tennessee Three, which turned out to be a real Tennessee two-step for Tennessee Republicans.
It was amazing.
Yep. Because, you see, in 2023, Tennessee Republicans had two things going for them. First, a racist legislative supermajority that could pretty much do whatever they wanted.
And that's always a good thing.
You know, we just get to do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, at the national level, nobody cared what Tennessee Republicans were doing.
No,
they were gerrymandered. They were, they had a supermajority. It's Tennessee, and
who cares?
You know, they're not on the Beltway, so really, you know, whatever they do, we know they're going to do it. So no one paid any attention to the corrupt and racist proclivities of the Tennessee Republican Party. And it was the Tennessee Three that changed all that. In April of this year, the Tennessee House voted 72-25 to oust Representative Justin Jones and 69-26 to oust Justin Pearson for their disorderly behavior, mm-hmm. for taking part in a gun violence protest on March 30th, which was sparked by the Covenant School shooting that took the lives of three adults and 3 9-year-old children on March 27th, the mm-hmm. Covenant School in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And then members spared Representative Gloria Johnson of Knoxville in a 65-30 vote, short of the 2/3 majority needed to remove her.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah, and she participated in the same protest. Well, there was no difference between the actions of Representative Johnson and the two Justins, except for the fact that the Justins were two young black men, and Representative Johnson is an older white lady.
Mm-hmm.
And when asked if she thought race had anything to do with her being spared and the Justins being expelled, she said, hell yes.
Hell yeah.
And she went out and marched with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the hallways of the Tennessee State House was full of young white people shouting, fuck you, fascists. Mm-hmm. Which is the pinned tweet at my Twitter account because it's my new ringtone.
Oops. Oops.
Fuck you, fascists. Yep. Uh-huh. The expulsion drew widespread national condemnation. Now, someone with very good political instincts, his name is President Joe Biden.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He hosted the two Justins at the White House later that month.
Uh-huh.
And called the move to remove them undemocratic.
Yep.
By July, now remember, they had been ousted in April. Less than 3 months later, they had raised more than $2 million. This is for a state house seat. Two state house seats in Tennessee. The yep. two of them together had raised more than $2 million combined through about 70,400 campaign donations.
Yep.
And they both won their seats again and went back to the state house.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in August. They were reelected to their seats. Now, a week after the expulsion, in a case of probably the worst timing of the year.
Timing is so important in comedy. It really is.
Wealthy Republicans from around the country arrived in Tennessee for the Republican National Committee donor retreat.
Bravo. Bravo.
And leave it to Politico to report, quote, privately, Republicans acknowledged to Playbook the inconvenience of visiting a state where local party leaders are mired in ugly headlines and accusations of racism.
Yeah.
Boo fucking who?
Yeah, come down here and wallow around in our racism, Republican national members.
The donors, right, yeah. The donor retreat.
Yeah, great. That's great.
It also came out that Republican Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton, his real name, mm-hmm. doesn't actually live in the district he represents.
What?
And he was ripping off taxpayers for tens of thousands of dollars by billing the state for travel expenses to and from a place where he doesn't actually live.
Nobody would have noticed any of this.
No.
Had they and not
had
gone.
Had Cameron Sexton not been a racist asshole.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And congratulations, Marsha Blackburn. One of my favorite senators. Not. Uh-huh. Your election opponent in 2024 is Gloria Johnson, who is a fighter. She doesn't have any problem with white lady bullies.
No, she
like
is
like Marsha Blackburn.
She will cut a bitch. She will absolutely cut a bitch.
Yep.
In this very same year of 2023, in January, the House of Representatives convened and then reconvened and then reconvene, trying to elect a speaker, the Republican House of Representatives. They kept failing, and the fury and the finger pointing began over at the propaganda headquarters for the GOP, Fox News. The recriminations were very loud, as Tucker Carlson suggested that maybe Kevin McCarthy didn't really want to be House Speaker. Yeah, because everybody knows he hasn't lusted after that since he was four.
Yeah, he hasn't wanted it bad enough, yeah. Right.
And Newt Gingrich, remember Newt Gingrich, told Fox and Friend Ghouls that every Republican lawmaker who didn't support McCarthy was and is, quote, a blackmailing idiot, unquote. Yay! Hey, remember Tucker Carlson? I remember him from somewhere. Did I?
Yeah, high school, somewhere.
Maybe? Yeah.
Now, in April of this year, Fox News agreed to pay Dominion Voting Systems nearly $800 million to avert a trial in the voting machine company's lawsuit that would have exposed how the network promoted lies about the 2020 presidential election.
Yeah. This is also the year of the Moms for Liberty three-way, which is my new ringtone, and Lauren Boebert getting sloppy and handsy with her now ex-boyfriend at Theater Performance of the Year, Beetlejuice the Musical. We also found out that Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is the porn accountability buddy with his teenage son, which is all kinds of different kinds of creepy. In January, Matt Schlapp, who is one of the nation's most prominent conservative leaders and a top ally of former President Donald Trump, was credibly accused of sexually groping a male aide of Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker's campaign. Quote, he reached in between my legs and fondled me, the former Walker staffer told NBC News in a telephone interview. Quote, to my shame, I didn't say anything to stop Matt Schlapp, unquote. And just this week, from CNN, quote, two more sexual assault claims surfaced against head of conservative political organization Matt Schlapp, the influential chairman of the American Conservative Union, is facing additional allegations of sexual assault that apparently took place before the incident that launched a more than $9 million sexual misconduct lawsuit against him last year, unquote. Between this blue gal, we have lost count of the number of conservative evangelical pastors who have been caught groping their parishioners just in the last year. In fact, it would probably be easier just to publish a list of those who didn't grope their parishioners in the last year.
And I don't want to gloss over the Moms for Liberty three-way. One thing that really did expose what these folks are all about is the fact that Florida Republicans were more upset about the three-way than they were about the sexual assault allegations that were part of that story. And they're more upset that Matt Schlapp is groping in a gay way than that he's groping.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And this is all on top of the fact that this is the most Bible-thumping, moralizing, evangelical, hypocritical bunch of shitbags this country has ever produced in one political party. And on top of all, and you dig one inch below the surface and you find three ways, you find public hand jobs, and you find sexual assault and sexual groping and sexual predation just rampant in the Republican Party.
And it's perfectly okay because Trump did it.
Right.
That's the excuse. Jesus. Well, Trump did it. Well, you know, he's Trump and he's our Bible-based Cyrus and you're not, I guess.
Well, what do you always say? I'm not perfect. I'm forgiven.
I'm just forgiven.
I'm just forgiven. Yeah.
You're not forgiven. You're out of office.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Bernie Sanders won the coveted Referee of the Year award in 2023 for reminding artificial He-Man from Oklahoma, Mark Wayne Mullen, that, quote, you're a United States senator, unquote. And that Mark Wayne probably shouldn't try to start a brawl with the Teamsters president during a televised Senate hearing.
No.
Has he heard of the Teamsters?
Bad plan. And then afterwards bragging that, you know, I'll bite a guy. I'll bite his ear off. I'll do it. I'll bite.
I'm an MMA fighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder what Jimmy Hoffa would have to say to that.
Yeah. Come on down here. We'll have a little talk about it. Yeah.
Sure. I'm sure the Teamsters have cleaned up their acts since the Jimmy Hoffa days.
Sure.
However, I still wouldn't be threatening the president of the Teamsters on television.
No, that would be
right.
Well, and then bragging about it, about what he's going to do afterwards on on camera.
Yeah.
In May, the right was flailing around looking for some fresh culture war idiocy to get mad about when Dylan Mulvaney, a transgender influencer, promoted Bud Light beer on Instagram. And that was all it took. Conservatives called for a boycott and took to social media to vent their anger with Transheiser-Busch, as they dubbed Anheuser-Busch, which owns the beer brand. The first lunatic out of the gate was 52-year-old singer Kid Rock, who posted a video of himself shooting up a stack of Bud Light cases. And in June, conservative shoppers were equally outraged by Target Pride Month displays. Speaking of memory holes, those same harpies are right back to shopping at Target for Christmas. Isn't that...
They sure are, because there's a sale.
Right. These deeply held beliefs that can be blown away with the slightest breeze.
Yep. Now, back in January of 2023, Georgia Republican Congressman Rick Allen let the cat out of the very loose bag when he announced that Republicans were considering raising the age of Social Security recipients because, in his words, people want to work longer. That's his excuse. Okay.
Well, first of all, if you want to keep working, you can.
And still receive your benefits.
Yeah.
Yes.
No law says you can't keep working until you're 90. Just ask.
Right. You certainly
can.
But to deny factory and warehouse workers benefits they paid into their entire working career because reasons. And then former Trump Vice President Mike Pence, remember Mike Pence?
Yeah. Yeah, sure
decided
do.
This sounded like a great idea, and he jumped right on that bandwagon, called for Social Security cuts and privatizing Social Security savings accounts for seniors.
Yeah, great plan. It worked so well for George W. Bush. It was
a
great plan.
Keep fucking that chicken, Republicans.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he decided shortly thereafter that running for president wasn't a thing he wanted to do.
It wasn't working
anymore.
Out for him this year.
No.
Yeah.
I believe he announced that he was terminating his campaign in front of four people in a drugstore waiting room.
Yeah.
2023 saw four increasingly demented and irrelevant Republican primary debates that got smaller and louder as the year went along. The winner of every debate was the guy who never showed up for any of them, Donald Trump. And I watched all of them, and I have the battle scars to prove it.
Yep. The weirdest funeral of 2023 was when Diamond, of Trump's Amen Choir of Diamond and Silk, passed away in January. Both had been fired from Fox for repeating deranged conspiracy theories about COVID. So it was not surprising that Diamond floated another conspiracy theory at her sister's funeral. She hinted that Diamond might have been poisoned.
Might have been poisoned. Don't know. Unknown. Unknowable.
Diamond wasn't poisoned. No. The death certificate later listed her cause of death as heart disease due to chronic high blood pressure. And that is very sad. It's very common among African Americans. And we are sorry that she died. But her funeral got even weirder because Donald Trump was there. And during his usual fire hose of lies, Donald Trump suddenly announced that he'd never met Silk.
Never met her. Don't know who
she is. I knew Diamond. I don't think I've ever met Silk. Yeah. And of course, there are pictures of them at the White House, them at CPAC, them at such and such, you know, hugging him. And he just decided to throw off the cuff that he didn't think he'd ever met Silk.
Yeah. Why not just compulsively lie about everything during a funeral,
during her sister's funeral while she's sitting right there. Yeah.
Now, the speech of the year has to go to President Joseph Robinette Biden. When he flipped the script on the entire Republican Party during the 2023 State of the Union address, and it was a glorious thing to behold. We both watched it. It was amazing. There was a CNN flash poll right after it that showed that 72% of Americans who watched it approved of the President's State of the Union speech, including 43% of Republicans. Wow. Anybody care to remember what that was like? I mean, the guy's the same guy. And the country's actually in better shape than it was in January of 2023. And yet the polls are all being weird. Now, during the speech, which I think Biden should just get out and repeat every couple of weeks, he touted the more than 500,000 jobs he created in January, the lowest unemployment rate since before we walked on the moon. He called for guaranteed abortion rights nationally. He called for a ban on all assault weapons. But it's how he did all of this that was even better. It was the style that made the substance so delicious. This is from Brother Charlie Pierce. Quote, he took on hecklers like a veteran of a Catskills resort. He smiled. He laughed. He bellowed when it was called for. He had the only microphone in the room, and he used it like a hammer. Unquote. He sure as hell did. And the best part by far was when Biden delivered a masterclass on political rhetoric by turning Marjorie Taylor Greene's attack back on her and her colleagues, then calmly mocking them about their conversion on Social Security and how happy he was that they were now all together on the same don't mess with Social Security team. Yay! I got applause for doing so.
You have a standing ovation for seniors. Yeah. Let's stand up for seniors. And they all they had to.
God damn it. What magic did he do to do this? This was so bad. It was so bad that they had to get the corpse bride, Kimberly Guilfoyle, out on stage as fast as possible so she could try to change the subject.
And in the post-debate coverage. Yes.
Quick, get her out here. Well, she's going to need another 4 days in makeup. Whatever she looks like, just shove her in front of a camera quick. And her speech was something about Democrats, maybe Marxist monsters who want to control everyone's lives, et cetera, et cetera. It was as forgettable and awful and grotesque as Biden's speech was, honestly, the best State of the Union speech I've seen in my life, period.
Yep. Now, in March, Tucker Carlson, remember Tucker Carlson? Mm-hmm. His text message to a colleague from January 2021 came out as part of the Dominion voting system's defamation lawsuit against Fox News. Quote, we are very, very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights. I truly can't wait. I hate him passionately, he said in text messages. Mm-hmm. And the reason that Fox settled was there was more and worse than this in other text messages.
So much worse. Yeah.
Now, some of you might remember that in February, Kevin McCarthy handed over 41,000 hours of U.S. Capitol surveillance footage from the January 6th insurrection to the very same Tucker Carlson. Here, Tucker.
Here.
Show people the truth.
Get it out there, Kevin. Get it out there,
Tucker. Carlson's flying monkeys sifted through the footage at Fox News while Carlson promised his audience bombshell revelations and exonerations. This is going to blow the lid off of Antifa, FBI, all the bad liberals trying to make this about Trump.
And all the patriots. All the patriots
all
who
the
were there
patriots
that day.
Who were there really loving America. Turned out there were no bombshell revelations or exonerations. They had something like 45 innocuous seconds that made it onto the air on Fox. And now that Carlson is gone, and McCarthy is gone, and the new Republican Speaker Mike Johnson has promised to release the footage to the public.
Yay!
This was quite an announcement this year from Mike Johnson. It really did cement where he is going to be in the public mind, because he said, I'm going to release the footage to the public, but only after blurring out the faces of the insurrectionists, because I don't want the Department of Justice coming after them, which is obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
Now, the FBI already has all the footage, but the idea that you would try to edit the footage and take out people's faces to protect them from prosecution kind of belabors the point that they did something bad.
Mm-hmm. They did something bad, and you're covering up for the bad thing they did.
And you're covering up for them.
And you were also part of the one of the architects of the coup to begin with.
Yes, so, exactly.
You know,
that was one of your jobs when you were a nobody.
Now, at the other end of the spectrum, in 2023, Pete Buttigieg showed why he should really be America's official ambassador to Fox News. Mm-hmm. Because he is really, really good at sort of flying in right under their radar and making them look like the whiny liars that they are.
You also brought your husband, Chasten, on a military aircraft to attend a sporting event in Netherlands. Was that
that's quite a spin to put on.
No. But I mean, was that reimbursed? Because that was one of the controversies
of course
with
not.
Price.
I led a presidential delegation to support American wounded warriors and injured service members, the Invictus Games, as has been tradition for many years. I led the American delegation as one of the great honors of my time in this job. And the diplomatic protocol on a presidential delegation is that the principal is often accompanied by their spouse. It was a great trip. It was incredible. It was also a few weeks into the Ukraine war. So we had a chance at the U.S. Embassy to engage with the Ukrainian competitors, also wounded service members. Some of them went from the games back to the battlefield to fight for their country. I also took the opportunity to sit with the Prime Minister of the Netherlands to look at port infrastructure, Dutch port infrastructure. But here's what I want you to understand. Before me, it was the Secretary of the Army under President Trump who took that trip with his wife. Before that, it was Mrs. Trump as First Lady who went to the Invictus Games. Before that, Mrs. Obama did the same thing.
Sure.
And I guess the question on my mind is, if no one's raising questions about why Secretary Esper and his wife led that delegation, well they should have, then why is it any different when it's me and my husband?
Understood.
Would you believe that in May, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill requiring the teaching of African American studies and Holocaust studies in Florida schools? A bill that passed unanimously in the Florida House and Senate.
Wait, he got woke?
It seems that way. He did. He signed that bill right after he signed bills requiring gender at birth bathrooms and another bill banning teachers from asking a student which pronoun they preferred. DeSantis had lost the African American studies fight because he lost in the legislature due to some prominent African American state legislators demanding this law get passed. Unfortunately, DeSantis and his entire political party are still bashing gay and trans young people. And by the way, this bill that he signed requiring Holocaust studies and African American studies doesn't provide any money for any curriculum on that.
No,
this is one of those unfunded mandates that means nothing. Now, in August, Ron DeSantis did turn woke.
Mm-hmm.
This was after Disney ended a nearly $1 billion office complex scheduled for construction that would have brought more than 2,000 jobs to the Orlando area with $120,000 a year as the average salary in those buildings. And then DeSantis suggested that he wanted the media giant to drop its lawsuit against the state. Where we are today, you know, we've basically moved on, DeSantis said during a CNBC interview. They're suing the state of Florida. They're going to lose that lawsuit. So what I would say is drop the lawsuit. Now, Disney sued DeSantis's state because DeSantis and his minions were discriminating against Disney and punishing Disney because Disney had had the gall to raise an objection to the Don't Say Gay law.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that restricted Disney's First Amendment rights. The government can't do that. So Disney did amend their lawsuit in September and made it only about the First Amendment case. It now focuses solely on the claim that DeSantis and his allies allegedly weaponized their political power to retaliate against the company for exercising its First Amendment right to free speech by criticizing Ron DeSantis's Don't Say Gay law. Remember Ron DeSantis?
Yeah.
We'd rather not.
Yeah, not for much longer.
Not for much longer. Nope.
Old death spiral Ron. This year, Chuck Todd of Chuck Todd fame, quote unquote, retired from Meet the Press about 9 years too late.
Smart lads who slip at times away from fields where glory will not stay. Runners whom the race outran and the name died before the man.
Rusty, does this have a point?
Yes, I'm quitting show business. I was just trying to go out with a little class, you jackass.
But Krusty, why now? Why not 20 years ago?
And he took over something called Meet the Press Now, which apparently is a streaming thing that no one, including Chuck Todd's wife and dog, actually watch. And where last I heard, he was talking about UFOs, which is cool. Todd was replaced by Kristen Welker, who immediately stepped in a very Chuck Todd way, validating the theory that NBC executives do not care what the Meet the Press anchor looks like, just as long as they follow the corporate party line.
Yeah, and that corporate party line includes interviewing Donald Trump with absolutely no fact checking.
Oh, no. It letting Republicans get away with murder on the air and running out of time. Running out of time one time. And making sure everything's very balanced. A lot of balance. Got to have a lot of balance on both sides. Now, Chuck Todd, you might recall, himself replaced a slab of formica named David Gregory, who bobbed back to public view this year over at CNN. They needed at CNN someone to sit in front of a camera and blame Democrats because Republicans couldn't elect a goddamn speaker. So they called in David Gregory, and he did a fine job of it.
He literally blamed Democrats. Listen.
Sure.
I mean, at the end of the week here, with all of this chaos among Republicans, but the much graver circumstances around the world, I actually have my eye on Democrats. How long are Democrats going to stand by in the world of identity politics and zero-sum politics and not be part of any solution? We'll see. I think there's more cards to be played before Democrats jump in. But I think people who don't follow this day in and day out the way we do are looking up and wondering whether Washington has any ability to do their job.
Now, we really have to give a Citizens of the Year award to the voters of Ohio.
Yeah.
They made sure that abortion was on the ballot in November. And when Republicans tried to mess with their Constitution and tried to change the requirement so that a 60% vote would be needed to guarantee abortion rights, and then they held that election to change the Constitution in August, Ohio voters showed up then too. They did not change the Constitution. They did not raise the level to 60%. And then in November, they made abortion a constitutionally protected right in Ohio. Now, Republicans are still trying to mess with that. So next up, vote them all out.
Yep.
Ohio will elect a new governor in 2026. And next year, in 2024, we hope they will reelect Connie Schultz's husband, Senator Sherrod Brown.
Yeah. He's also
a wonderful guy.
Also really good at explaining things. Really
yes,
good at
is.
Talking to people in a normal human language.
And
which,
supporting manufacturing and all those good things.
Absolutely. 2023 was the year when a long list of Republicans who said Trump was unfit for office and they would never support him began that long, slow walk of shame back into the Trump camp. Oh, so sad. For example, political dilettante and heir to the Meyer supermarket fortune, Peter Meyer. This is from Politico. Quote, things have gotten complicated for Peter Meyer when it comes to his feelings about Donald Trump. He has feelings about Donald Trump. Less than a year ago, Meyer told me that he couldn't imagine voting for Trump in 2024. At the time, the Michigan Republican was leaving Congress after a single term, having been ousted in a primary challenge after voting to impeach Trump. Got it? Picture in your mind. But now, Meyer is launching a comeback bid for the Senate, and he's changing his tune. In an interview with Politico magazine, Meyer said he'll now support whomever the 2024 GOP nominee is. Amid little doubt, it's likely to be Donald Trump. And he's doing more than that for the former president. Just days before, Meyer announced his intention to join the increasingly crowded Senate GOP field. He submitted a court filing, arguing that Trump's name should be allowed to appear on Michigan ballots next year amid debate over whether Trump is disqualified from the presidency because of his conduct on January 6th, unquote.
And we'll have more about Colorado's decision today on Thursday's show.
Now, 2023 was also the year that veteran Republican mercenary Steve Schmidt once again pawned his Hero of the Resistance medal to get involved in another payday running another third-party spoiler candidate for the presidency. I can't tell you how much I was not surprised one iota that Steve Schmidt burned his reputation to the ground again to collect money again by running a third-party candidate for president again, and how everyone on the right, on the Never Trump side, just shook their head in shock that Steve Schmidt had done such a thing.
Yeah. As long as the check clears, Steve Schmidt is willing to move that direction.
The only question we have over here is how long will it take him after that presidential campaign bombs to be readmitted back into the Hall of Heroes by Nicole Wallace and the Republican laundromat at MSNBC?
Yep. He'll have some bon mots to say against Trump and call Trump a poopy head, and he'll be right back on MSNBC again.
Mm-hmm.
For a brief moment in 2023, the fake victim of the year, George Santos, who was indeed kicked out of Congress by his Republican colleagues for being a fraud. And this was one of very few things that the Republican Congress actually got done in 2023.
Named a post office and got named rid of George Santos.
Yeah, they were. Since the Depression, there has not been such an unproductive House of Representatives. But George Santos actually found honest work, Driftglass, recording cameos for a few hundred bucks apiece. Now, Representative Jared Moskowitz, who had a very good year, he even bought one for James Comer. And you will notice that in this podcast, we did not feel that the impeachment inquiry of Joe Biden was worth discussing.
No, not worth mentioning.
But James Comer got a cameo from George Santos congratulating him for being the biggest LLC landowner in his state, as well as wishing Comer a happy Hanukkah.
Yeah. That's
and so nice. Santos sold another cameo to John Fetterman, who enlisted Santos to record a sarcastic video targeting Bob Menendez, the utterly corrupt senator from New Jersey, who has allegedly, and we must add, allegedly, received bribes of gold bars and Mercedes cars from the government of Egypt. Doesn't matter that he's a Democrat. He's corrupt, and we want him out.
We want him gone. He's crook. Kick him out.
Santos's cameo said, "Hey, Bobby, look, I don't think I need to tell you, but these people that want to make you get in trouble and want to kick you out and make you run away, you make them put up or shut up. You stand your ground, sir, and don't get bogged down by all the haters out there. Stay strong. Merry Christmas from George Santos."
Aw.
Now that the cameo money is rolling in, Mr. Santos, it's time to pay your lawyers, because you're still going to jail.
Oh, you're definitely going to jail.
Yep.
In this country or in Brazil or or both. Now, on our regular podcast, on our Thursday podcast, sometimes we end with some local news. So we thought we'd end this with a local update from the year 2023. The Washington Post dispatched its senior correspondent covering national international affairs, Kevin Sullivan, to our little corner of heaven to give our former congressional representative, Republican Rodney Davis, a warm and loving tongue bath and scold Illinois Democrats for gerrymandering poor Rodney out of his Senate seat, or his House seat. It's so sad that that happened. Here's the headline. Illinois Democrats drew new maps. The changes pushed the GOP to the right.
We're so mean, Driftglass.
It's all our fault. It's always our fault, Blue Gal. Always. Quote, "The state's congressional redistricting illustrates how gerrymandering hollows out the political center and strengthens the fringe, experts say," unquote. Bad, naughty, bad zoot for us doing that. Now, have you met Nikki Baczynski? Because she's the woman who replaced Rodney Davis as our congressional representative, and she is about as far from the fringe as you can get. We have some campaign literature here from her, a Christmas card showing her milking a cow.
At the state fair, a cow.
You know, yeah. If this is what the extreme fringe looks like, sign me up. But it's not. It's just...
I like her. I'm so glad that we have a Democratic representative. But Ilhan Omar, she's not.
No.
She's blonde white lady who milks cows and will talk to you in a nice little voice. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying she's not intelligent. I'm not saying she's not competent. She is a competent backbencher. That's what I want for my congresswoman. Yes. I don't need someone telling Hakeem Jeffries to go to hell. No. I need her to be a competent, consistent vote for the Democratic agenda. And she is that. But she is not a rabble rouser.
No.
She's not going to get any headlines for making noise about anything. She's competent, and she'll sit on her committee and do her work. That's it.
And if you're going to do a story on the horrors of gerrymandering, why are you sending your Washington Post top guy to Rodney Davis's district? Do you not know who replaced him in our hearts and on our in the district that we live in? It wasn't the sort of person that you're writing the entire article about. So let me ask you, where did they go and who did they talk to get this real inside dope on gerrymandering in our little local area here, Blue Gal? Well, they tell you that in the first two paragraphs, where they went and who they talked to. Quote, on a warm Friday night in the St. Mary's Catholic Church parking lot, sweating men sipping cold beers dip fish fillets into bubbling deep fryers as children played on the bouncy castle. See, a whole word picture, Blue Gal. conjure in your mind a beautiful summer night, children in the bouncy castle and men sipping beer and filleting fish. This down-home fish fry used to be a regular stop for U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, a moderate Republican who grew up in this former coal town in central Illinois. But that was before, new district lines drawn in 2021 pushed him into far more conservative terrain and into competition with a fellow GOP incumbent, unquote. Wow. That sounds really bad, right? Really, really bad. Then literally 41 paragraphs later, because I counted, the article mentions the following, quote, the parties have different stances on how to address gerrymandering. Democrats have pushed for federal legislation that would require the maps to be drawn by independent commissions. Republicans have largely resisted those calls, unquote.
Hello.
That was not the first paragraph or the fifth or the 30th. That was the 41st paragraph after all the stuff I just read, because they're trying to make a political point about how awful it is that Democrats are destroying the political center in this country, which is absolute bullshit. And everyone at the Washington Post damn well knows it.
And the number one part of the bullshit is this. Rodney Davis did not quit Congress when he was put against another Republican. No. He ran in a Republican primary and gave voters in the new district an opportunity to vote for a quote unquote moderate Republican himself. He was running against Nazi Mary Miller.
And he lost.
Republicans in Illinois had a choice between a moderate Republican and Nazi Mary Miller, and they chose Nazi Mary. Mm-hmm. This is not Democrats' fault.
No, those voters were there, and they were that way before Rodney Davis ever showed up.
And Rodney Davis was in leadership. He was a whip. He was under Kevin McCarthy's office. And those people, those Republicans in that district, could have had a Republican leader representing them.
And let's make this final point and then close out. Rodney Davis voted against impeaching Donald Trump twice.
Yeah.
He voted against letting having metal detectors outside of Congress because he likes to conceal carry inside Congress.
He voted against our health insurance 60 times.
I was going to say, and he didn't just vote against taking our health care away 60 times and was a whip on that effort. So if that's what moderate is, fuck moderate.
Right.
There are no moderates in the GOP. There are escalating series of crazy, and Rodney Davis was on the more beige end of that.
Right.
But they're all terrible, and they all need to go. And I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad he's no longer a representative anywhere.
Right.
And we'll take on Mary Miller next, but for now, I sleep much more soundly at night knowing that Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth are my senators.
And Nikki Budzinski is our congresswoman.
Yeah, period. Full stop. Yeah. And if you want to come down, Washington Post interview me, you'll find me in many Midwest diners. All you have to do is sit down next to me.
Sunday at about 11:30, come to Lulu's.
In this Midwest diner,
We will be there eating eggs and hash browns.
Yeah, with a bunch of other people who look and think very much like we do. People from our church, you know? So stop it. Anyway, you know what? 2023 has been a very interesting year. And I'm guessing that everyone listening to this podcast has 20 other things that they would like to include in the memory box. So send us your comments, send us your letters, you forgot about this. We did not forget about Rosalind Carter's funeral. We just thought, we'll skip through the year and highlight the weirdness and the awfulness and the political stuff, and especially Joe Biden's really competent, wonderful resume that he built for himself.
He had a good year. He really did.
If anyone was paying attention, he had a very good year and it was very good politically. He knew where his strengths were and knew how to move an audience, and he used his strengths strategically. Good for him. But if you have stuff that you want included in the comments of this thing or the memory box we build for these things, send them along. We didn't forget everything. It's just this is not
going to be. And we want to plug Crooks and Liars too, because we will be doing Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and also New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, we will be running the Crookie Awards,
yeah,
of which many of these things that we mentioned today will be included and then some,
mm-hmm,
including James Comer's impeachment inquiry, Rosalynn Carter's contribution, the Carters, Jimmy and Rosalynn, you know, being good guys of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that will be included in posts giving people Crookie Awards for 2023. Mm-hmm. And Driftglass, I have loved doing this podcast with you once again this year. I mean, we've been doing it since 2010, but one friend of ours said, yeah, you guys are in Simpsons territory with your podcast these days.
Yes, we are. In terms of episodes, not in terms of...
In terms of number of episodes, it's true. It's true.
I love doing this podcast with you too, darling. And, you know, every time we're like, we sit here going, oh, Jesus, yeah, this is going to be... And then we do it and it's wonderful. And it's
fun. And we love it.
And we sit back and we both have a... We both roll a cigar and have a smoke afterwards. No, we don't.
He rolls a cigar on my thigh like a good Cuban woman. That's right.
That's right. That's the only way to do it. No, we really still genuinely enjoy doing this podcast after all this time. We still get a lot out of it because it forces us to do some deep research and like, oh, that's right. Oh, my God, that's right. We don't actually literally at the tip of our tongues remember literally everything that ever happened, but we do have archives and we do our research and we know what the trajectory of politics has been for the last 40 years. And we can dip back and find things that we think are important to talk about. And honestly, we couldn't do it without you, which is why you shouldn't forget that we really need more Patreons to make this podcast fly. I'm not talking to the Patreon people who are already on board. Bless your hearts. We really appreciate it. But we do need more to make this thing work over the long term. So if you can spare $5, please spare $5. And visit our Patreon at patreon.com/ Pro Left Pod, and thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you for doing that, and see you next time.
See you next time.
The Professional Left Podcast, No Fair Remembering Stuff Tuesday edition, is produced under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2022-23, DGBG Productions.